Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Marked Steel by M.J. Fields, narrated by Carolyn Eve and Troy Duran. La Défense Arena, France. Tris.
You've got this, Tris,
Patrick says loud enough so that I can hear him over the roar of the sold-out show in Paris, France, as he gently squeezes the tension from my shoulders. I look back at him and roll my eyes dramatically, telling him, no kidding. He smiles the way he does in a way that is meant to calm me. It does. But what he doesn't know is that he isn't calming my nerves. They have been shot for months. What he is doing is giving me a reminder that I need to calm my monsters. Closing my eyes, I whisper my mantra. Note by note. In a world full of scrutiny and screaming self-doubt, I've found solace in blending sounds together, making music to drown them out. My monsters are calmed by taking everything note by note.
You ready to rock, Trouble?
Finn Beckett, bass guitarist from STD, is standing beside me, his arms crossed over his chest, a slight scowl forming a V between his brows as he looks at the stage from the wing. Finn loves music, but hates being on stage. On the total opposite side of the proverbial guitar pick is Memphis Black, the lead singer of STD, which happens to be the band we are opening for on our first ever tour. He loves the spotlight. Sometimes I feel like Finn, and sometimes I feel like Memphis. The highs and lows of being a teenager blows, and so does the fact that our brains aren't truly mature until we are close to 25 years old. My therapist, Dr. Winslow, assures me that once my hormones are balanced a bit more and my brain syncs up, I will no longer be inclined to define myself by my past choices, or however it is he is treating me. By then, I will be better. I'm getting better. Always, I answer.
Good luck, one.
Billy, another member of STD, smirks. Billy calls me one, our bass player Zoe two, May, our other electric guitarist three, and Rain, our drummer, who happens to be River's daughter, who is STD's drummer, is four. Kiana, her mom, continues messing with Rain's pom-pom-like pigtails as she winks at me. These ladies don't need luck when they have talent and killer style. When this whole music thing started, it was supposed to be just me. I was fine in the studio with Uncle Xavier and Trix, even with the radio, podcast interviews, and performances used as promotion when my one solo single released and hit number one on the pop music charts to help promote the upcoming album and tour. The issue? I didn't pick up the guitar all that quickly, and Patrick, my cousin, aka Trix, refused to be on stage. His words? I want to stand back and watch you fly. The problem for me was that the only time I shined in the past year live and in living color was when I went off at Seashore on him and my cousins and ended up getting kicked out of school and spending 5 days and four nights in the nut house. No one, aside from my parents and Mama Jo, my grandmother, know that's where I was, not even my siblings. Everyone thinks Mama Jo took me on a mini vacation. Dr. Winslow told me I was giving him power by not using his name. Marcello had left more black roses in my locker, and I'd had enough of the snickerings from his little gutter whores, my second cousins, so I made them eat them. That probably wouldn't have gotten me kicked out, but when he pulled me off them, yes, both of them, I proceeded to kick the shit out of him. That probably wouldn't have caused me to be kicked out either. But then Miss Pinkertits, the English teacher who I didn't even see, appeared in the backswing that gave her a black eye, sealed the deal. Not my finest hour. Honestly, I don't even remember most of it, but whatever. It still got me kicked out of that hellhole. A hellhole where black roses bloomed every morning, and black clouds hung over me all day, inevitably landing me in the nut house. Rage was something I had never felt before that day. Rage of the blinding, amnesia-inducing type. Rage that is so strong that it took Max and Amias tackling me to the ground and pinning me down to tame. When the rage faded a bit, things still were fuzzy, like a screen full of static on an old TV, filtering the world around me. That lasted for 3 days, extending my stay at Chateau de Crazy for another day. Unlike the chateaus in the picturesque countryside surrounding the city of Paris, they served pills and not wine. The static gone, the itchy fuzziness softened. Anger and pain became like a childhood blanket, the only things that comforted me. After that, I wrote words that made little sense to anyone but me. Patrick and Kiki polished them and made them marketable, while I was finishing my high school career online. Online. It's been weeks since I have unblocked him. Him being Mark. And not once have I not had to force myself to stop doing so. Keeping busy has definitely been the key. Busy. I feel it. My heart beginning to race like it does whenever I think of him. And it sickens me. I hate him. He hates me. I hate him more. I take a deep breath, then exhale slowly. It calms the racing. Well, the imagery of the act does. I picture the black cloud of fog entering my body through my nose, removing it from the space around me, giving me the ability to see more clearly, see the path in front of me and not the carnage he caused behind me. Note by note. I close my eyes and turn from the stage when the first few notes of the medley that Uncle Xavier and Trix composed, combining Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, Row 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 Your Boat, Humpty Dumpty, London Bridge, and a few others ending with Eeny Meeny Miny Moe. All of them combined brilliantly based on something that I scribbled on a notebook during a particularly cloudy day where I was trying to make sense of when my childhood ended and all the monsters came marching in. That scribbling shaped our 45-minute performance as the opening act and was pushing our album up the charts all around the world. I feel Rain and May grab my hands and open my eyes. Zoe walks up beside them and rolls her eyes slightly as she takes their hands. It's time for our pre-performance ritual, which I find annoying sometimes and comforting at other times. Today, it's annoying as fuck. Because you're thinking of him, Marcello. Rain says her prayer. Lord, bless this music so that it may spread love. Use our talent to serve you. May your presence be found in each word and note to reach hearts of the people and draw them closer to you. Let your spirit guide our instruments for peace and your purpose. Amen. My eyes lock with Zoe's as I wait for her to react because she always does. But right now, she's looking at me with an odd mix of concerned annoyance etched across her face. What? I ask.
You're up, May,
Trix says before she can answer. May skips onto the stage in her hot pink attire as the lights begin to rise and the instrumental arrangement continues. Rain is next, wearing a pale pink.
You better bump up, Triss,
Zoe says as she rubs her finger under her nose.
You look half asleep. Get out there, Zoe.
Trix nods toward the stage as he hands me a headset mic. After slipping it on, I adjust the mic, holding it to my mouth, and start the show the same way I have the other four shows that we have done, by asking the question, are you ready to play? The noise level of the crowd crescendos as I begin the walk from the wing toward the stage.
Kick ass, kiddo.
Memphis grins as I walk past him, hoping to absorb not only his energy, but some from the 40,000 fans gathered here at La Défense Arena to see them and make them my own. I head center stage, mimicking the smile that has always dawned on my sister's, Brisa, face while staring at the spotlight, to blind my view of the crowd to shield them so that I don't get stage fright
or worse, sick again like I did the first two shows. I stop at Zoe, and we do our handshake, palm to palm, then grasping thumbs, sliding our hands away, stopping to wiggle our fingers against each other's, ending with a hair flip. And then on to Rain, doing the same thing but ending with a hip check. And finally May, doing the same damn thing and ending with her doing a backflip and me a front, before making my way to the center, in line with my girls.
I can't hear you, Paris. I asked, are you ready to play?
The lights begin to change as the instrumental changes from nursery rhymes to our intro song. The first 4 minutes of the show from our set list, Are You Ready? Lined up, we start our over-choreographed dance, side by side, as the arena and stage light up in a kaleidoscope of pinks. One by one, we take our turns asking the question, then striking a pose, starting with May.
Are you ready?
Next, Zoe. Are you ready? Then Rain.
Are you ready?
And me.
Are you ready to play?
May intros herself in song.
May be yours, but for now, I'm mine. And as you can see, I'm doing single just fine.
Are you ready to play?
Then Zoe. Lipstick stains, horns, and flames. Get too close and you're to blame. Are you ready to play?
Thunder, lightning, pouring rain. I'm a daddy's girl, bet you know his name. Are you ready to play?
The crowd's noise level raises to a roar, and amongst the cheers, River's name comes to life.
Trysts and twists and kissing games. I'm no one's girl, but do lay claim. Are you ready to play?
They scream my name. My heartbeat begins its race, and my insides catch fire. The monsters inside, well, they fucking bow to me and my music. We shed our cloaks, all made of our signature colors, mine being the only one that's not of the pink variety. It's blood red, as the lights dim. In leather hot pants and halter tops, we start the next song in the set, Wannabe. A bitch slap in the face to the Thunder Twat twins. Every one of my band members knows it's about them, too. And even though I don't feel as close to them as we portray, I know, in this instance, that they play it up on stage. Sometimes even bigger than I do. Crew Love is the third song Trix and I wrote about what matters the most. Loyalty, friendship, family by choice. It's a slight contrast to the man-hating and slightly sexual, and only slightly because I have a few more months until I'm 18 and my father insists, undertone to our set list. After Crew Love and another costume change, we're all in what I call our power outfits, and the dance-heavy beginning of our show is over. Emotions simmer to a rolling boil as I get through Somewhere in Between, Kiss It Away, Love Doesn't Always Win, and finally, Red Roses Turn Black, or as I call it, Monsters. Burnt and broken, left in the dark. Never saw it coming, bit like a shark. Shattered screen, broken dreams. Tormented by thoughts, your traitorous team. Loved you, swore it to you, until our very last days. Caught in a web of deceit, false promises, their childish praise. Don't want to be yours. Just want to be all right. So I'm gonna kiss someone else tonight. Chorus. Cruel winter, even crueler spring. Thought one day I'd wake from this goddamn dream. Ebb and flow, like a thawing mountain stream. Been tossed like waves, turned like a ring. The only cure, open up and sing. Didn't want to be left, you were always right. The whole damn thing a fight. Bled and cried in the pouring rain. I'm on the brink, going insane. Laying here with my monsters tonight. Smashed my heart, unrecognizable to me. The mirror the crowd cannot see. Took a swing, killed love's light. Crushed plans, no longer my night.
Bended knee, foolish me. Don't want to be yours, just want to be all right. So I'm gonna kiss someone else tonight. Chorus. Cruel winter, even crueler spring. Thought one day I'd wake from this goddamn dream. Ebb and flow like a thawing mountain stream. Been tossed like waves, turned like a ring. The only cure, open up and sing. Didn't want to be left, you were always right. The whole damn thing a fight. Bled and cried in the pouring rain. I'm on the brink, going insane. Laying here with my monsters tonight. Don't want to be yours, just want to be all right. So I'm gonna kiss someone else tonight. When red roses turn black, never turning back. Don't want to be yours, just want to be all right. So I'm gonna kiss someone else tonight. When red roses turn black, never turning back. Like every night, pretending it's part of the act, of course. But it's not. It's out of complete need. Self-medication for my soul and with a healthy dash of revenge. I jump off the stage and hurry to the closest and least secure part of the barrier between the crowd and stage before the unsuspecting security guard can get to me. The crowd goes wild, as it always does, while I search for the lucky person to lay my lips on. Someone, anyone. Hell, it doesn't even have to be a male. And yes, I am so fucking straight that I could be a pin. But the thought that he, Marcello, may see it on some random concert-goer's live feed or uploaded video that I've kissed a girl. And although I'm not Katy Perry, and I liked it, I love the thought of it making him crazy. He deserves it. He deserves monsters of his own. He deserves them so much more than I do. Lost in my own head, sinking in my own shit. I reach for a random face in the dark and feel scruff beneath my hand. I quickly swipe my thumb over his lips because, in my head, a flinch would be an objection and I would move on quickly. When I feel a hand on my head, pulling me in a different direction, and the man whose lips I was going to kiss begins cursing in a foreign language, I open my eyes and look toward the handsy man. A man with soft brown and somewhat tormented eyes, framed in thick black lashes, face lightly covered in black hair, and lips that look so soft that I have to kiss them. My lips catch fire, his scent familiar, but I know that crazy notion is driven by my monsters, too. When I get pulled back, I know the culprit's firm grip. Ranger, my freaking bodyguard hired by my parents to protect me from possible crazed fans, or so they say. I know damn well he's here to protect me from myself. Right now, he's my least favorite person on the planet, because my lips still feel like fire, and I have never felt that from anyone. Anyone except him. Marcello. Eyes still locked to the man who caused the burn, I feel hope for the first time. And behind his, this man whose name I don't know and probably never will. Regret. I'm sorry, I mouth. He cocks his head to the side, looking confused. I shake my head as I'm being carried back, my hand to my heart, and yell out, I'm so sorry! Rangered. Tris. By the time he fades away, so does the anxiety caused by it all, and annoyance takes hold.
You think your parents are going to back off now?
He snaps as he finally sets me on my feet backstage. They don't get a say in a few short months. I'll be 18. I snap back, straightening my dress.
Tris?
Dad yells my name from behind me. Here we freaking go. I grumble. Ranger scowls.
Don't be a shit. At least they give a damn.
If I didn't know Brisa had a lady boner for him, I would have found a way to get rid of him when he started showing up everywhere I was trying to hide. Park your childhood trauma in the employee parking lot and leave me to deal with mine.
Why the hell I put up with you is beyond me.
He huffs as he turns and walks away. It probably has a lot to do with all the zeros in your paycheck, I call behind him. You okay? Mom throws her arms around me. Oh my God, Mom, I'm fine. Same show, different night. I wiggle away from her insanely tight clutches. Dad grabs me up next.
They almost came through the cattle control barrier.
It's crowd control and I'm fine, I grumble as I attempt to wiggle away. But seriously, you're squishing me. He steps back and takes my hands.
Nothing squishy about you. Have you been eating?
Dad, we had dinner last night. I pull my hands away and step farther back. You need to loosen the damn leash, both of you.
Be easier to do if you'd follow some rules, you know.
It's part of the act. And besides, I actually liked kissing that guy. That's a first. You should both be happy with that, huh? Mom looks mortified. Dad looks briefly amused. Briefly. Really, Mom? I'm not sure what to say, Triss. Tears begin to pool in her eyes. Tears are always filling her eyes. Well, ever since they found out their little girl wasn't perfect. Say it's a step in the right direction and smile, for God's sake.
Triss, VIP area to meet your fans.
Trix calls to me. I look back at Dad and smile like Brisa does. And I have fans.
Of course you do. But don't you ever forget that your mother and I are your biggest fans.
Corny. I shake my head as I turn to follow Trix and the girls. Standing in front of the pop-up banner with our logo on it, the crowd gathered outside the VIP tent is loud.
Looks like a giant womb,
Rain whispers, and I can't help but laugh.
You bump up?
Zoe asks.
Why would you ask her that?
May snips.
She was a freaking zombie before we went on stage, and then...
High on the notes. And the kiss.
May beams.
He was the hottest yet. Grabbed your head with his big man hand and pulled you away from the other guy. That was hot, Triss. So freaking hot.
Rain moans. Why do girls like possessive dicks? I half joke, but only half because I get it. I so get it, but I hate that I do. Rain shrugs.
Possessive sometimes looks an awful lot like protective.
And what exactly was he protecting her from? Zoe huffs. The conversation is interrupted by the first group of VIPs shrieking as they almost run in. All three young. Too freaking young to be wearing our band's t-shirt with the Vag logo on it. Which I'm pretty sure not everyone thinks is a Vag, but that's because they aren't twisted like me. And Rain. I may just like her for real. All dark-haired beauties are beaming as they all but rush and hug me, speaking in a language that doesn't sound French to me, more Spanish. But let's be honest, I didn't pay attention at all in Spanish class and was kicked out of school in the 10th grade, so it could be Swahili for all I know. After unwrapping themselves from me, they say the first thing I understand.
We love you!
You wouldn't if you knew me, is what I want to say, but they shouldn't be burdened with my lunacy any more than they should be unknowingly wearing a Vag shirt. But this is show business. Thank you. My smile is one that I hope matches their energy and doesn't spill the fact that this is completely out of my comfort zone. Picture? I ask, putting a final nail in the comfort coffin. Then I squat down between them. And one of the three girls, who are definitely related, hopefully not second cousins, or one will no doubt be fucking the other's boyfriends in just a few short years, holds out her phone for a selfie and can't quite get us all in.
Dad!
I yell, knowing he's here somewhere even if I can't see him. Since the revelation that their little girl is no longer a little girl, they are no different from Ranger, who, when I'm 18... is totally gone because I can't fucking breathe with everyone always up my ass.
On it,
Dad calls.
Papa?
One of the girls asks before handing him her phone. Yes, Papa and Mom. I smile as I look at the camera.
Papa, ven a conocer a Tristil. Tio Mateo también.
First picture, yeah? I ask, wrapping my arms around two as Mom fusses with getting the other in front of us. After the first picture is taken, Mom insists, "Now, one at a time." I want to tell her that this isn't going on a Christmas card or put into a yearbook, and that there are obviously VIPs lined up outside the tent, which, by the way, we had exactly 15 at our first show in Russia, and all related to me, except for Rain's folks and May's, but whatever. We had exactly the same number of people waiting in the VIP at our second show in Romania. Manchester, England was different. There, we had a really long line until STD started, and then, well, let me just say I was relieved, because the contact high from the crowd's energy had been wearing off, and I had started to get anxious. Anxiety is a cunt. "Picture with the band?" Mom waves the girls over. I look at Dad, who gives me a quick wink, basically telling me to let her do her thing. I'm not so far gone that I don't know that I have put them through hell. Been doing that most of my life, so I oblige them. It's not like I can ever make up for it. And I'm hoping once they trust me again, I can distance myself and pop in and out when things aren't staticky.
"Papa, Mateo!"
one of the girls exclaims. This should be entertaining. Zoe chuckles as she wraps her arm around my shoulder. I look at her, expecting her to elaborate, and also hoping that she remembers the girls are young, like G-rated, maybe PG.
"Kissy, kissy, please."
The same girl giggles.
"Mateo."
Zoe busts up laughing, and Rain whispers,
"Damn."
I look away from them, and my eyes land on the same man who my lips burned 4 minutes ago, and seem to be having some sort of muscle memory from said kiss, because they are tingling. And Rain is right. Damn. I feel an elbow jab my side.
"Say something."
I glare at May and she giggles. Annoyed at her, I look back at him.
"You're welcome."
A smirk forms on his perfect lips, and then he smiles a dazzling smile. But I'm not focusing on it. I'm tripping on a dimple, a tummy flutter, and of course, a racing heart.
"Bien."
His voice is smooth and deep. No rasp like him. It's soothing and should be bottled up, labeled melatonin magic and sold worldwide.
"Bien?"
His dimple deepens.
"Fue un beso bonito."
May leans in and whispers.
"He said it was a beautiful kiss."
I scowl at her again and snap because, like, step away, girl.
"Well, of course it was."
I glance back at him, feeling all sorts of emotions, and desperately hoping not to see the regret I have seen before, and wishing once again that I kept my lips to myself and my mouth shut. There is none. Concern, maybe? Confusion, because we obviously don't speak the same language. Then I hear Dad's voice boom.
"Sono suo, padre."
I really wish I had some snacks for this, Zoe says in a way too amused and annoying as hell tone. He points to the girls then behind him.
"There, papa.
Good call."
Dad actually smiles, and the man, Mateo, nods once before reaching his hand out and offering Dad a handshake. Great. Just great, I think.
"All right, we've got a line,"
Trix announces kindly.
"Más tiempo,"
one of the girls frowns.
"More time,"
May whispers the translation. Trix gives them that smile that makes all females from 8 to 80 swoon.
"London, Madrid, and then Reggio Emilia. Lots más tiempo coming up."
"Papa,"
they all call out, and I dare look back at the man who seems to have my body blushing from the inside out. His eyes and smile soften before he turns to exit the VIP tent. The other man, Papa, has a shit-ass grin on his face that makes me sick to my stomach as he says,
"Ese era mi beso."
May whispers,
"That was my kiss."
"Chicas, vengan conmigo,"
Mateo calls to them, and his voice, although still smooth,
carries much annoyance. I look at the fog.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?